countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Well, it's a wet and windy one out there ahead of tonight's rare blue moon, a rare occurrence indeed for Halloween. But Storm Aidan will pass, the winds will die down and the rain will end, and then it'll be time to go for a walk. Yeah, because these cold, dark days, well, it might seem more natural to snuggle up in front of the fire, but my next guests all believe in the power of a good walk. Good morning to Moncon McGann, to Shane O'Mara and to Natasha Murta. Moncon, I'll go to you first of all this morning. Have you been out walking in a wet and windy Westmeath yet?
Not this morning, no, but I've been walking every day this week, and at some point today I will venture out.
Sometimes it's actually, it's quite an awakening experience as well. It's good to feel alive, I often say, when I'm out in the rain anyway. Tell me what you feel about the power of a good walk, Moncon.
It's really hard to define it, isn't it? But anyone who knows how they feel before a walk and after they go for a walk will realise that it's almost a quantum difference. It somehow wakes us up to ourselves, but to everything, almost to the landscape around us. So I've been living here in Westmeath for 23 years, and almost every time I go, you know, the amount of back bohereens in Ireland, we sort of, county councils curse it, but it means that you can constantly almost find a different way to go, a different way around fields, a different trail, and it just opens you up to the world in a different way. And what seems lovely is this year during COVID, people are seeming to wake up to the potential, to the power of walking more.
Right, I think we've all just had that feeling of wanting to get out. Shane O'Mara, good morning to you as well. You're a professor of experimental brain research at Trinity College Dublin. So maybe you give us the science. What are the benefits of a good walk?
Well, I think Moncon has already hit on some of them there. Walking makes us, it's good for every aspect of our being. And we kind of underestimate the effects that it has on us. Both for ourselves as individuals and for society at large. So, you know, for individuals, it's good for your cardiovascular health, but it's also good for your muscular health. And in particular, it's very, very good for your state of kind of well-being. And societies where people walk more tend to be societies where people feel much more connected to each other. So I think it's very hard to understate the power of walking.
You talk about different kinds of walking. I was interested to read about an awe walk, a social walk. Maybe take me through, what do you mean by an awe walk?
So I kind of make the case in the book that I did on walking recently that actually walking is a poor word. It doesn't describe the range of experience that we can have. So you end up adding words to it to kind of extend its range. So an awe walk is kind of almost what Moncon has already described, where you walk out in nature and you feel yourself slightly small in relation to the size of the world, to the size of the environment you're walking around in, and you get a kind of a positive effect from that.
Maybe,
and
like walking, when you're walking at, say, I don't know, the Cliffs of Moher or
exactly,
a forest.
Exactly, that kind of thing. But it can happen in your local neighbourhood. All you have to do is pay attention to the horizon, to the sounds that are around you, try and look at the trees, try and look for signs of wildlife, any of those kinds of things that take you away from being within your own head.
And a social walk, is that going for a chat
with
a friend?
The experience of walking is kind of social walking, walking with another person, either in companionable silence or just having a good old chat about nothing at all, because we evolved as social walkers. That's how humans conquered the world. That's how we came out of Africa all those years ago, was in families, in tribes, in groups. So we're exquisitely attuned to each other when we're moving together.
Okay. I often think when I'm talking about kids or the family or the bills, it's easier to talk to my wife if we could ever get out for a walk. Maybe you just feel a bit calmer. But you say there are problem-solving walks as well.
Yeah. So walking, it turns out, is an interesting boost to creativity. And this is something I think writers and philosophers and artists have known for years, but psychologists have only cottoned on to recently. So we can show this very, very simply and straightforwardly. You bring people to your lab and you ask them to do what's called a divergent uses task. So you give them common household objects and they have to come up with other uses for them. So how many uses can you come up with for a can of beans in 20 seconds? And people might come up with 10 or 8 or what, that kind of number. Get them to do an 8 or 10 minute walk before you give them this task, and on average they'll come up with about twice as many ideas as they would have done had they just been seated. And this is an age-independent effect. People who are in their late 60s and early 70s will perform at about twice as well as people in their early 20s if they've gone for a walk. And this is because walking mobilizes your brain, it mobilizes your body, and bits of the brain that are quiescent when you're seated are suddenly active when you're moving.
Okay. Natasha Murta, good morning to you as well. Natasha, you've been brought walking from a very young age yourself, since you were a child of eight with your dad in particular.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, walking is sort of something that's always been there in my life. And as you just said, walking with my dad in particular and my brother when I was a kid out on the west coast of Ireland was a huge part of my childhood. We would gear up and put our anoraks and wellies on and face the elements and, you know, hike over mountains and sand dunes and all that sort of stuff. And I think my older brother and I, we sort of had this love-hate relationship with walking when we were younger, and we thought, oh God, we have to go and do this. But the best part afterwards was we knew that we would get a little ham and cheese toasty or a packet of crisps and a rock shandy in the pub, and mum and dad would have their, you know, pint of Guinness and Bulmers. And it was this sort of, we always knew that this wet and wretched walk would be rewarded with something very sweet and lovely.
I bet it never tasted as good. I'm thinking of any time I've climbed Crowpatrick, that pint of Guinness at the bottom of the mountain never tasted so good. And we know hunger is a great sauce. Natasha, how have you been coping with working from home and through lockdown? Because I think walking and your love of it has helped you through that. Is that right?
It has indeed. I think, like so many people, it's been very, very difficult being so isolated and not having the commute into work and people around you and the chat that you'd have on a day-to-day basis that you wouldn't have necessarily noticed before. It's been a very lonely time, and I have felt sort of paralyzed and frozen in the sense that so much of my normal life has been taken away from me. You know, I can't go and see my friends, I can't go into the office, you know, my work life has totally changed. And I feel very, paralyzed. But getting outside has been an absolute savior to me. I was telling one of your reporters yesterday that there was, you know, I talk about my childhood being when I first sort of fell in love with walking. But I think when I was younger, it was just part of my upbringing. It wasn't until I was about 18 that I really realized what walking did for me. And it was when I was on the Camino with my dad. I was 18, and there was this moment where we had just gone through a place called Estrella. It's famous for the running of the bulls. And my dad and I, being mad, we actually did the running of the bulls. And we met this man called Pablito, and at the time, this is going back to 2010, I think he was about 76 or 80 at the time, and he had no English, and he led my father and I to his house where he used to make walking sticks for pilgrims, and he used to carefully carve them and pick out a gourd to decorate it with, and he was showing me how he did this, and my dad remembers watching this, and he became very emotional. And it was that moment that Dad realized why he was taking me on the Camino and what it was really giving me.
Right.
And I think about that now when I go walking. Walking really sort of grounds you. It slows everything down and it pushes all of the other things that are distracting out of your life. Like for me then, it was Dundrum and TV and all that stuff. And it just sort of centers you and brings you back down and slows you down.
It's a lovely story of the Camino, Natasha, but I mean, can you find that in a walk within your 5 kilometre limits now? Are you still getting that same sensation?
I am indeed, and I'm actually delighted with myself because just before the 5 kilometre restriction, I found a new walk within my 5 kilometres, which is remarkable because I go walking with my dog Randy every day, and it's in Kilcool. It's called the Mass Path. And it is, it's an ancient walk that ends up being around 5 kilometres there and back. And it starts just off the main street of Kilcool. But very quickly, you find yourself walking between beautiful countryside, okay, down along St. Patrick's River and along the convent garden wall. It's really beautiful. And I'm delighted I have that.
I'll go back to Moncon. There are walks, there are trails everywhere. I think everyone can find something within their 5 kilometres, Moncon.
Exactly. It seems that just in the last decade, the county councils and then Waterways Ireland and even Fáilte Ireland have done such a key role in trying to put walks everywhere. Like Caolte alone have 230 walks. So you can almost always find a walk. And so normally there are these lovely waymarked walks or looped walks. And, you know, if we can't, then we just have to make do with just walking our own country roads or area. But it seems like we are better suited. We're better, sort of in a better position to find gorgeous walks around us than we've ever been. Like, the government is making it a priority. So it just requires us to make that effort. It's that first push, you know, to put on your coat and go outside. But when you do, there's a wonder world awaiting.
You like to note where you're walking, the names of places, the history of it, Moncon?
Yeah, I mean, I've just spent the last 6 years trying to write this book, The 32 Words for Field, and it is trying to see what we can uncover in the landscape through the language. And God, wherever I go, you just take the place name, and you know, the place names now, when they're written up, the Irish version is always there, and even our school's Irish is enough to give us a hint at what's going on. Like, you're in Kinturk in Cork, and you realise Ceann Turk, the headland of the wild boars, you know, it suddenly comes alive for us. So, yeah, our ancestors named every spot, every rock, every field of the area and put sort of information in it. They're like wormholes. They're like portals of information. So it's like it's an intellectual game to play when you're out walking to see what are the hints, what is the information that's been passed on through the place names that you're walking through.
Shane, you're walking on Killiney Hill every day, I'm told, and sometimes you're aiming for just a mindless walk, just with nothing in your head. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. I have a little bit of a rant against mindfulness in my book on walking.
A rant against mindfulness.
We should be centred into our own thinking and feeling ourselves as we're feeling our way through life. I think often what we're better off doing is getting out of our own heads entirely and stop thinking about ourselves. And I think walking gives you that opportunity to just not be present in the moment, but just to range backwards and forwards through your life. And think of nothing at all, so that sometimes our biggest source of stress is not what's happening to us in the outside world, but how we think about the outside world.
Okay, and so Shane, we're looking at the weather out there today. Sorry to cut across. You were looking at the weather, the storm. Sometimes you're like, oh, I don't want to get up. And yet I always feel better when I do get out for that walk. Have you any, what would you say to people who need that encouragement?
That is exactly the case. People underestimate how good they'll feel after a walk. And I was just looking at the rain as it was battering my front window here. And I realized I hate walking in the wind and the rain, but I love having walked in the wind and the rain. So there's an interesting paradox.
Okay, well, look, when the wind and the rain clears, I hope you all have a good walk, or even get out in it with a good coat, because it's a good experience too. As you said, Shane and Natasha and Moncon, thank you very much for joining us. And if you'd like to be further inspired, Shane O'Mara's book In Praise of Walking is out in paperback. Moncon McGann's 32 Words for Field has just been published. And the book Buen Camino that Natasha wrote with her father, Peter Murta, when she was still a teenager, about their walk on the Camino de Santiago, is still in print.